All right. They say a key to a good offense is to have a great defense. What about a key to a great defense? Well, let's look at the actual side of that. Let's look at some offense. Jamie, Dave, we're here.
Yep.
Let's talk offense.
Now, first, we're going to discuss what that actually means.
And we're not talking offense like, oh my God, you said something that hurt my SJW feelings.
We're not talking about offense in the sense of you have the ball, it's your turn to attempt to score points.
Well, in that vein, more, but not exactly.
Yeah. In this, we're discussing, in a way, one of the most basic philosophies of martial arts, which is
hit first, hit hard,
or don't.
Right.
We all remember ye old Lee of Brucedom. A lot of the overly hyped BS philosophy you would hear in his movies. Remember the one about flow like water around your enemy and turn their attacks against them? That would be a defensive art, because the whole idea is to protect yourself and counterattack.
Does that mean now, that Bruce? Does this mean that Bruce's philosophy about water is BS? Not really.
It's but just a little overhyped in his movies.
It is. And if we get in contact with any of our martial art black belt friends, well, they'll tell you there's some science to it. But we got to cover how we're going to get there first.
Yeah. Now, ultimately, there's no real effective major martial art that's going to be pure defensive. You will eventually have to hit your opponent, but the idea is, are you going to hit him just enough to make him stumble and realize there's no point in continuing to fight you because you're going to avoid his techniques and keep making him look stupid? Or are you going to hit him full force and try to collapse his throat so he suffocates to death?
What's the true goal of martial arts and offense? It's going to be the former, yeah. Not the latter.
And we will get into some of the defensive, aka soft fist style martial arts in later episodes, as many of the top ones do fall into those schools.
But yes, here goes with offense.
Yeah.
Punching, kicking, headbutting, gouging, chopping, sweeping, shoulder charging, takedown, ground and pound, taking someone's own offensive move, and twisting their arm until their elbow connects into the small of their back. Which it's not supposed to, by the way.
Unless, of course, you're one of those triple jointed type people, in which case you're probably showing off by yourself on stage. So, with all things, context is important.
Yeah. But you're saying, wait, taking someone's move, and isn't that defensive? Oh-ho-ho. Yes and no.
Yeah. You see, the key is you're primarily defensive arts. The idea is always to minimize damage done to anybody and perform techniques designed to simply end the fight as quick as possible.
And even the old, as we joke, British martial arts of, you have a pair of keys, sunshine? Pull them out and fucking use them.
A cocky to the eye is going to end the fight really bloody quickly.
You should listen to that guy in the bar if you're about 5'5", attractive, and blonde. He's not bullshitting you. He's too drunk to.
Yep.
A car key to the sensitive parts of the face will remind your attacker not to fuck with you.
Yep. Now. But yes, a counterattack designed to elicit enough pain that your opponent leaves them wide open so you can hit 5 of your own punches. That's offensive-based counterattacking.
And even if you don't attack him as he's holding his nose, you still won the fight because your objective is to not go to the hospital or the morgue.
Yep.
They can talk about you all they want at the office or at your university. He ran after he punched me in the nose. He still punched you in the nose there, Jock McStrap.
Yeah.
He won the fight.
Like this. Who was bleeding from their face? Who never got punched?
Who was smart enough not to hang around and wait on you to get up and try to hit him? That's right, him.
Yeah.
You lost that fight, buddy. So, what makes an offensive martial art? Believe it or not, boxing.
Well, yes, while there's technically techniques in boxing.
Yeah.
Let's face it, the alleged sweet science has basically always consisted of make the other guy's face look like it got run over by a big truck.
Which, there is a lot more to it than that, honestly. And I'll explain. Yes, make the other guy's face look like a Mack truck smacked into it repeatedly doesn't hurt. But you have to think, Dave, there's body hooks, there's uppercuts. There's uppercuts to the solar plexus.
Oh, that's right. Make him piss blood for a week while he's looking at his face in the mirror.
Pretty much. And what?
Yes. This is an offensive art.
Yeah, very. And the results are offensive if you get a gold gloves boxer as well. Offensive if you're on the other side of him, that is. I don't like
Floyd Mayweather
at all. Yeah. I'm not going to intentionally go up to him and call him various racial terms. He's a little bit faster than me. Although, if he starts the fight, I will defend myself, but I'm not going to go in a stand-up boxing match with him.
That'd
be stupid.
And remember, if your boxing match includes trash talk from Mike Tyson, will you just add a fifth level of offensive to that fight?
Mike Tyson, in his heyday, was a defensive boxer. But he had flexibility and movement so fluid, you were busy paying attention, wondering if he was going to duck, that you didn't see that right hook coming straight for your jaw.
Yes.
To paraphrase, Mike Tyson was the original one punch man.
Yeah. Unfortunately, eventually people realized if you can dodge that one punch, Mike's going to start gassing.
However, other boxers did evolve. Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, those scary, scary Ukrainians.
Speaking of defensive boxers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You do got to wonder how long Mr. Ali's rope-a-dope strategy would have worked against a hard hitter like Tyson.
Who knows?
I'm going to block all your attacks till you're too tired to defend, and then I'm going to start punching you.
It probably would have worked. against the Klitschko brothers, not so much, because those two boys are freaky.
It takes a certain kind of man to use the rope-a-dope strategy.
Yes, it does. Absorb punishment, deal it back to him tenfold in the later rounds.
But also, here's the key, absorb punishment strategically.
Yes.
Not just go ahead and get hit. It's make sure when you take a hit, it's in a spot you can, you know, that's not going to make it harder for you to see where you're swinging later.
Yes. Sometimes taking a hit, like a tank, is an offensive strategy. Power leveling, kids.
Yep.
Yes, it's going to hurt in the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th round when you're getting punched repeatedly and you're too tired to defend yourself. However, as we've said, there are certain boxers that evolved from that strategy, like, again, the aforementioned Klitschko brothers, who were fast and pretty... Well, when you have two guys named Dr. Iron Fist and Dr. Punch...
Yes. And you did reference Evander Holyfield earlier.
Oh, yes, Evander Holyfield, the real deal.
Yeah. Oh no! You go ahead and cover up.
Yeah,
I can find 8 other weak points on your body.
Oh, you need that liver? Not anymore.
Oh look, you lowered your hand to clutch at the pain in your side. Now I can see your jaw.
Pow! Dink dink dink.
Well, thud. Holyfield was definitely a thinking striker.
And his form evolved from people like Larry Holmes and Joe Frazier, who were also thinking boxers.
Yep.
Which frustrated the heck out of Ali.
True. Ali and Smokin' Joe had some iconic matches.
I mean, Ali did come out ahead in the scorecards, but he felt it for about the next 2 weeks.
Pretty sure Muhammad Ali felt it the rest of his life.
Yeah. Which, yes, Joe kind of blamed himself for causing some of the Parkinson's.
Yeah.
But
we're not placing the entire... No. Parkinson's disorder on boxing. We're not blaming the entire thing on any one wrestler or any one boxer.
No,
even
Frank DeFord and Al Bernstein.
If you dig up the footage, from those Ali Frazier matches.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, you can't watch that and not go. Yeah,
here comes.
The rest of your life, man. That's, you don't take punches like that.
And on top of that,
the same thing about Ali hitting Frazier.
Yeah, which Frazier did feel the after effects of that, not as bad. Or George Foreman hitting you. Foreman in his younger days was an angry punching machine. In his older days, he turned into a thinking, angry punching machine. What's the difference? Well, yeah. He got out to where he could sell grills. But yes, they were like, wait, George Foreman was in his 40s and he could, yep. Up in his 40s and 50s because he learned the first time how to avoid getting hit. And which hits to take. Now,
real quick, before we move on from boxing,
yeah.
You really think we are being humorous when we talk about the Ali Frazier trilogy? Here's a quote from Ali about the final match, the Thrilla in Manila. Ali has stated that it was the closest thing to dying that he knows of.
Yeah.
And he won that match. Think about that. When you're the winner and you go, yeah, basically that's what I believe dying's going to be like.
And even the Filipino crowd that was pro Ali cringed.
Yeah.
And most of them were legit afraid of Frazier at the end of that match.
I'm pretty sure most people were afraid of Frazier up until about a year before he died.
Right.
And that's only because he had liver cancer, so, you know.
And even then, I'm sure the cancer was pretty cautious in how to attack him. It's like, don't want to do this too quick or really. Damn it.
Pretty much. Here
comes the chemo. Yeah.
No, that's not so much chemo. Frazier's just focusing really hard.
Yeah. Yeah,
the chemo comes. Get you, little cancer fuckers.
No! No! But yeah.
Yeah.
Joe Frazier was one of the scariest boxers ever. We didn't see until, like we say, the Klitschko brothers, who were smart, Slavic, and scary. Joe was just angry and scary.
Yeah.
But yes, boxing is not the only purely offensive. Shall we go to the land of the rising sun and discuss a little Kyokushin karate?
Yes.
You want to talk about offensive? Oh, yeah. Well, Kyokushin, what's the best way to describe it, Dave? Let's beat the crap out of each other for about a minute or two? Or three?
I like to think of Kyokushin as the ultimate masochist psych test.
Yep, stand up.
If you watch them train or watch a full-blown match and you go, hey, that looks like fun, we're pretty sure you have achieve psychological and physical pain or pleasure from the act of physical pain.
Yeah. And here's you some famous names, by the way. The creator was Matsutatsu Oyama. We'll get into Moss later, a little bit later in this conversation, because Moss was batshit insane. And that's being nice. Sonny Chiba. Dolph Lundgren. Yeah, Dolph Lundgren. Akira Masuda. Kenji Midori. Glenn Murphy. Tatsuji Nakamura, Nicholas Pettis, the Blue-Eyed Samurai. Oh, here's a name that you should just pretty much run from, Boss Rutten.
True.
Hey, Boss is in a bad mood, JBL. Fuck! Oh, yeah. Georges St. Pierre. Oh, here's another name, Dave, that you should remember. We'll discuss him later in Strongman series. Maurice Pushinowski, the four-time winner of the World's Strongest Man.
I bet he can tip an ambulance over, even if a full-size wrestler is hiding inside of it.
One or two.
Or three.
Or
four.
Nope. No, Maurice, don't come after me, please. He won 5 World's Strongest Man.
Oh, by the way, we're discussing Kyokushin.
Yep.
In case you want to know just how infamous Kyokushin is as something that will either make you a badass or make you bleed from all your pores at once.
Let's go ahead and
Kyokushin served as the basis for Street Fighter main characters Ryu and Ken's fictional fighting style. As in, basically, they added throwing fireballs.
And Moss has a notorious incident. He would make a terrible bullfighter in Spain.
Did he just punch the shit out of the bull?
Yes, he did.
I do not wave red cape. You come near me, I punch you.
Even though they say that the bull was sick. Like, guys, a bull's still a ton of angry animal. I don't think you can actually care how sick it is. It's still got horns.
Pretty much. Kyokushin was also shown in the James Bond movie You Only Live Twice, which, yes, was part of the Sean Connery era.
And yes, Moss does show up in those movies somewhere. Not in the cast, though, but still.
Let's see. Featured Shigeo Kato.
Yep.
And was the teacher of Shokei Matsu.
Yep.
And Akio Fujihara.
Yep. Oh, and here's your fun one, kids. Masayama used to be called Kenno, or the God Hand, or God's Fist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Rich?
Yep.
There's one other person who is a notable practitioner of Kyokushin that we should all be glad we're out of his arm's reach.
Oh, who's that?
Vladimir Putin.
Yep.
There's a reason why I keep telling people, no. It is okay to sit down and talk with Putin and want to make friends with him. You don't want to piss him off.
No, you don't. Also, a man who has played Tyson in a movie, Mr. Michael Jai White.
Yes.
Is a practitioner of Kyokushin. What we're trying to tell you people is Kyokushin is pretty much the martial art you want to go to if you want to tell someone they're out of their mind. Also, did we mention Dolph Lundgren? Yes, we should.
Yes, Dolph Lundgren, Boss Rutten we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, those are two guys that are like, we want to take you out back in the alley and knock the crap out of you. How about I just buy you a drink instead?
Oh, and for those of you who are wondering where you know the name Michael J. White from, Spawn.
Yes, Spawn. Spawn in the new Mortal Kombat series.
True.
Yep. Trust us. These men are, well, they're not insane.
On the other hand, they're not somebody you want to go up to in a bar and say, come on, man, I bet you can't knock me out with one punch.
That's a good one.
Because you will wake up two states over lying in the street and going, apparently he's the juggernaut and I'm his bitch.
And then you'll have Dolph Lundgren standing over you with a bottle of beer going, yeah, but you won't do that again, will you? Get up, pussy.
No, that's when Dolph Lundgren looks at you and goes, now see, if you had been respectful, you'd have realized I didn't tell Sly I will break you because we thought it would be a funny line for the movie.
No, I was going to.
Yeah. I was warning him not to get cute during the filming, and apparently they thought that was in the script and didn't cut.
And nor should they have. Yes. Kyokushin Karate. A very offensive sport. Punches, kicks. Oh, yeah. Don't run into those. Especially Mr. Pujanowski. Because that's about a 280-pound man.
Yes. Yeah,
no, 320-pound man. I'm sorry. He was 280 when he started.
And there is no wasted flab biscuit mass on that body.
Yes, he throws all 320 pounds into any fist or kick.
Yeah.
You'll be about five states over.
I don't care if you are Floyd Mayweather. If he looks at you and says, "You're pretty, I want to dance," you better start waltzing.
Who cares if you're dancing with a man? Nobody's going to give him crap. Now, of course, they have kumites. Go ahead and look you up a kumite with the Kyokushin karate practitioners on YouTube. Still less violence than a Daddy of Five video, but just as much blood. Maybe a bit
and slightly more consensual.
Right. Right. There's no 9-year-old kids that have ADD involved. Or at least none that they'll put online. And it's usually between 2 9-year-old kids with ADD. Now, karate is not the only... Kyokushin is the most offensive of karate. I mean, there's other forms, but still. Let's go across the sea. You feel like a little Chinese boxing?
I prefer the fried rice, but since this isn't our cooking episode, let's talk about Chinese boxing.
Yes, let's. Chinese boxing has many names. It also has many practitioners. None that I would piss off on a good day. However, Sanshou, Sanda, Chinese boxing, or Chinese kickboxing was developed by the Chinese military based upon the study and practices of traditional kung fu and modern combat. You want that again, kids? It's a hybrid art developed by the Chinese military. You think those guys are a little offensive? This is the same Chinese military, though, folks, that decided, hey, to quell an upset in the middle of Tiananmen Square, let's apply a tank.
Well, how many guns did they have in the uprising?
I don't know.
Like zero? It was like a dude holding his hand up and saying, I don't like this.
And what did they do? They ran over him.
The tank.
They ran over him. You're kidding.
No, apparently they don't like the word no. At least from their own citizens.
No. Yes.
Yeah, when they invent a style of boxing, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be centered around hitting you really hard.
Well, one of the most famous of practitioners is a UFC fighter, Kung Lee, who was in the, what the hell is that movie with, Oh, with Dennis Quaid, they're marooned on a planet. Who cares? Okay.
Alright, hold on.
But yeah, he had retired from MMA about a year back due to a drug test. But he did star in a Tekken film as Martial Law, Pandorum.
True.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Pandorum.
Also in fighting with Channing Tatum. By the way, he got to do every guy's dream. Beat the shit out of Channing Tatum. Not saying it's the top
two. If you're playing 6 degrees, folks.
Oh, boy.
Channing Tatum was in G.I. Joe, which also had Dennis Quaid. So we have a nice little triangle going there.
Woohoo!
Channing Tatum has worked with both those men. You know, Dennis Quaid's kind of that quiet badass. You ever notice that?
Yeah, he is.
As opposed to Randy, who's just Randy Quaid.
Out of his box, friggin' mind. Compared to Jean-Claude Van Damme, who likes to tell you how much of a badass he is.
Which ultimately brings us into our biggest problem with modern era Western offensive based alleged martial arts.
Oh boy. Do I need to pull out my Dennis Miller tie?
Yes, and you may also need to go ahead and write an apology note to Penn Jillette for stealing from his show.
Possibly.
But yes, folks, believe it or not, there are people in America who claim that they have either created or upgraded martial arts fighting styles that are definitely offensive based, where you're basically told we're training you and encouraging you to kill your opponent no matter how small the squabble is.
Wrong.
There's about 18 levels of wrong with this, including the fact that you're gonna end up spending a lot of time in court over that, because my martial arts instructor said this was the only way to fight is not gonna keep your ass from getting thrown in jail for homicide. But these dojos do exist because these are people who have anger management issues and confuse the concept of machismo with just plain being a sadist and a jackass.
In other words, those teachers what the hell? Crease. You know, from the Karate Kid?
Yeah.
Cobra Kai, bitches. Yeah. Cobra Kai does not work in the real world, and here's why.
You take him out!
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
Yeah.
Got a problem with that? Actually, I got plenty there, Crease.
Yeah, including the opening minutes of the second movie where you beat the shit out of your teenage students in the middle of a parking lot.
And a very angered Okinawan man kicks your ass.
Because you do not have a real martial arts. You do not have respect for the philosophy and spirituality of martial arts. You deserved to bloody your own hands because he's smart enough to dodge and let you punch the window behind him.
And then you get to, whenever you do get convicted of second degree murder or manslaughter, better hope it's manslaughter, that's the lesser jail sentence, then you get to learn a brand new fighting style in prison. Known as 52 hand blocks, 52 blocks, the Comstock style, stato in tight, or as Elvis Presley sang, the jailhouse rock.
Yep. Because guess what? You're eventually going to meet somebody in prison who will not fall to your fighting style. And unfortunately, one way or the other, he's going to be the one that buys you for cigarettes.
And in prison, you don't have a lot of space.
No. And yes, folks, the 1-inch punch is bullshit.
In Kung Fu itself, it's just a defensive strategy. Get someone to back off.
Yeah. It's the Kung Fu equivalent of a purple nurple. It's just designed to make somebody go, dude, what the hell, man?
And then they get a flying kick to the skull.
Exactly.
That's the fun of soft styles. Hard styles, on the other hand, don't have much in pretension anymore, really.
True. As we continue to evolve culturally and get away from vicious bloodshed, wars just because your country puts ketchup on their french fries and we prefer dipping them in mayonnaise. And I'm not exaggerating by that much, folks. Go read a few history books on what starts war.
Sometimes it's religion, sometimes it's philosophy, sometimes it's the bigger dick theory.
Sometimes it's just, you know, we haven't taken anybody's land in a few years.
We're not saying the SJWs on Tumblr are right. We don't just bomb brown people for the shits and giggles.
Well, we don't. In the past, some people that ran some nations have done stuff like that. But the point is, we've, with the exception of one or two countries still running around, we've moved past that. And as such, the super offensive fight to kill every time, even if your first punch took all the fight out of him, go ahead and keep punching him until he quits breathing. Those kind of styles are falling by the wayside. Nobody really wants to practice them anymore because, well, if your opponent's begging off and you're still grabbing them by the collar and punching them in the face, whether you started the fight or not, you're the jackass.
Yep. Now.
Oopsie.
How has fighting evolved past the macho asshole? Easy. Fighting's not limited to just I hit you, you hit me. Sometimes it's a dance.
True.
And yes, kids, there is such a thing as you find on River City Ransom Underground. Street dancing, breakdancing has adapted into a fighting style, but it gets its roots all the way in the Empire of Brazil.
Dancing, yep. Hair slapping.
Uh-huh. Now, the slaves did have to adapt a martial art because they realized that they weren't going to like being slaves for very long. I mean, it was pretty much inevitable, wasn't it?
Yes. Our lovely little friend, Capoeira.
Yep.
Capoeira.
Yeah, Capoeira. Ca, meaning jungle. Capoeira, it was. Translation, it was from the jungle.
Martial art that combines elements of dance, acrobatics, and music.
It is a very gravity-based art. Latif Crowder can do things with his feet that most people are still trying to figure out how to do with their hands.
Yep. Now, it was a very loose martial art. There wasn't a lot of... Since, again, it was pretty much practiced as a way for people to assert the fact that they're humans and deserve some sort of decent treatment, it never really got formally stylized, and you didn't have ranking organizations dictating the lessons of dojos. But we can say that there are a couple major style subdivisions. This would be Angola, which is the capoeira that keeps the traditions held from its earliest days. And capoeira regional, which only started forming in the 1920s, so it's less than 100 years old. It is distinctly a modern art.
And, of course, there's a third art, contemporanea.
Which is a considered a hybrid style.
Yep.
As that, I mean, literally what it is after about 50 years or so, some people felt that neither regional nor Angola had it 100% right. And so they took the best aspects of both.
Which we see today in our modern breakdancing. In a sense.
True. As well as in many martial arts films, and was shown briefly as part of their showing off wizarding body language, the Durmstrang school from Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Hilarious, given that they were not Brazilian, but in fact very Eastern European.
But the style did reach outside of Brazil.
True, but let you know.
Yeah.
Wesley Snipes himself is fond of capoeira, and you can see it in some of the choreography in the blade fight scenes.
And, of course, Anderson Silva, Thiago Santos. Conor McGregor is a practitioner.
And, yes, South American character Raymundo from the former cartoon Shaolin Showdown did practice capoeira as his personal style.
And, of course, two famous Brazilians from martial arts games. That'd be the Tekken series. Eddie Gordo and Cristina Monteiro.
Yes, as they had the same mentor.
Yep.
And, of course, technically a third, Tiger Jackson, who was originally a palette swap.
Oh, yeah.
But has since been spun off into his own character.
Yeah. Which, and people are like, oh, my God, Christina's not wearing much clothing.
Well, yeah, she's from Brazil.
It's right there at the equator and slightly below the equator. It's pretty fucking hot down there.
Yeah, Christy doesn't so much wear a shirt as she wears a really sparkly bra with oddly placed straps.
Meant more for
but again, it's not. Yeah, it's one of those issues where they're not overly sexualizing the hot South American exotic girl. No, that's actually what you would see a lot in the streets. Of Brazil, where she came from, because it's friggin' hot.
I mean, remember, this is the country where they had to stockpile an entire warehouse of condoms for the Olympics. Those women are slightly hot. And then we'll talk about the weather. But yes. Think about it, kids. Of course, you got your more modern martial arts. You've got MMA, the ground and pound. You got the valet tudo, which is anything goes. Because sometimes a good defense is to just knock the crap out of someone. But again, as Dave stated, my God, don't try to kill them.
No, there's no reason to ever kill somebody that's attacking you, because that is taking justice into your own hands, and you are not the GD Batman.
Nope. Nor will you ever be him. Batman has a certain class to his vigilante justice. I mean, is that putting it succinctly?
Yes, and more importantly, even within the DC universe, most other heroes kind of consider him a jackass.
Yep. Not because they hate him. Now he's got a few personality issues. And slight parent issues. Okay, he's got a lot of issues, but still. Ninjutsu itself is a... Yes. Yeah, ninjutsu itself is a supposed martial art. There's a reason I say supposed. We're not quite sure.
Yeah, it is a highly secretive style. And there's certainly people that will allege that dojos that claim to teach ninjutsu are not teaching the full style, as that goes against their code to publicly advertise that they are in fact ninjutsu practitioners. But let me put it this way. The ninja of old, back when ninjutsu was a thing.
And we're talking back in the day when Iga Village was still a thing.
They were assassins.
So yeah, they were slightly offensive.
Killers. So yes, their style is going to be a little inherently intense.
But they are meant to be one punch, less than five hits.
If punching at all.
Right. Because ninjutsu is not meant to be like Ryu Hayabusa and I've got a sword and I can cut up everything inside this room. No.
No. Real ninjutsu is...
I'm hiding in plain sight.
Real ninjutsu is go watch the opening minutes of The Professional.
Yeah, I'm hiding in plain sight, watching my mark. He doesn't know I'm here.
I'm hanging upside down from the ceiling, inches behind my mark, and he still doesn't know he's already dead.
Let me just put my hand around, snap. Oh, that was easy. Yes. That was how ninjutsu worked. Why did ninjutsu have to work that way? Because they were dealing with armored samurais who were stronger than they were.
And again, they did this so they could make money killing people.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. I'm not insulting their style. I'm not judging them. Again, ninjutsu arose in a century of almost constant warfare. Very much a kill or be killed time period.
When either you liked the Shogun or you hated the Shogun, but you weren't going to directly go after the Shogun.
Yeah. And the simple fact of the matter is while yes, other martial arts that are practiced today did originate in that time period, they were mostly centered around the idea of monks and poor farmers trying to figure out fighting styles to keep people from destroying their village so they could go on living their regular farming life.
And yes, even the monks had to get offensive sometimes. There is the practice of drunken boxing.
Yes. Because, you know, folks, for reference, well, yes, I have seen both Jackie Chan films, and they are, in my opinion, some of his best work, especially for his early years. You do not ever legitimately perform drunken boxing or drunk fist, depending on your translation, while legitimately inebriated.
However, if the situation calls for it, that's a last resort.
I mean, you can, but it does not make you superhuman. It's actually more like, okay, take just enough shots so I don't feel the pain.
Yep.
Yeah. Kind of like back in the old days of medicine where they'd give you shots of whiskey before yanking your teeth out or yanking out your bad organ, depending on the doctor.
Or setting a break, or
yeah, pretty much anything that we give anesthetic for now. Anesthetic used to be take a couple shots of strong whiskey and wait 10 minutes for it to kick in.
Or I'm gonna need to chop your leg off. Drink this whole fifth.
Yeah, we're just gonna leave the bottle with you. You self-medicate as we go. It's like this, folks. There's a reason that while we do not feel that modern pharmaceutical companies are completely pure-hearted and nice, we do laugh at people who take the protest too far and say that medicine has never been worse. Like, you don't really read so much, do you?
Trust me. Trust us, folks. Medicine was bad.
Because here's the sad part, folks. There's countries in this world where drink the moonshine till you can't feel me take cutting your gangrene limb off is still practiced because they don't have access to better medicine.
Aren't you kind of glad we took a cue from the Chinese martial artists and decided to kind of codify medicine, folks?
Yeah. Let's give credit. Germans also did a lot of excellent things with the formation of modern medicine.
Well, yeah, they did. It's a combination of East and West. Chinese codification, German engineering, English engineering.
Now, we should point out, not so much the Germans during the National Socialist era. The ones from a few generations before.
Yeah, yeah. Those in the old Prussian Empire.
Yeah.
Those Germans, because yes, because those laughable lefties from the NSDAP, they had some antics. They also had some fighting styles of their own, but those are lost to the annals of history.
True.
Not so much because we're denying history. It's more like
they didn't document very well.
Yeah. Hitler was too busy trying to document where the fucking Holy Grail was.
Oh, and don't forget the Spear of Destiny.
Yeah.
He's a big proponent in the mythos of the Spear of Destiny.
And Goebbels was just kind of, he was documenting, I'm going to hell for this joke, fucking Camper was documenting his kill count.
True. Real quick, though.
Oh, go ahead.
Speaking of fun with Eastern Europe.
Oh,
I do believe the Russians have come up with an idea or two about martial arts.
That's good. That's oh yeah, they did. As a result of the Germans,
little something called well, for short, they called it Sambo.
Yeah. We're not talking the offensive flak term either, kids.
No, we're talking loosely translates to self defense without weapons. Oh, our country's going through another bad economic era. We can't afford guns. Yeah, we'll just teach ourselves how to win a gunfight without a gun.
What do we call it? Samosashita Bezorussia.
How did you just Sambo. Do
that? Sambo? Yeah, Sambo. Yeah.
Hey, they literally took the most effective kill techniques.
Very offensive kill techniques at that, too.
Yeah. Judo. Various international styles of
jiu-jitsu
and Greco-Roman submission wrestling.
Oh,
and the stuff in MMA where people tap out in 5 seconds to avoid suffocating. Yeah, they said, you know what, let's do that for like 3 minutes at a time.
Oh, and then let's not forget they borrowed a little from the French, a little form called savate, a very offensive martial art form, because even the Frenchmen figured out what happens when we put a kick to the liver.
Shit. What happens when we put five kicks to the liver so fast you think it was only one? Yeah, and they cribbed several other arts that were floating around Europe at the time.
Yeah, Aleish, yeah. Kurash, and Kulichny Boy.
Yeah.
Which, Russian boxing. Yeah, wall-on-wall Russian boxing. Yes, kids. And the Germans got to find out how effective Sambo was. There weren't too many live opponents to tell the results back to the fatherland.
Yeah, it wasn't just the Siberian winter that kept Hitler from turning on his former buddy.
Yeah,
there was guys standing around in the middle of the Siberian winter going, come here, I want to show you a trick I can do with my fingers. Hey, I found your spine.
Yes, folks. What we're trying to say is the Russians were short on sympathy around the time that Hitler decided to
let's turn not on it. For the people that think Sambo is a little too pacifist, Sistema.
Oh, yes. Because, hey, let's take this deadly martial art and make it worse.
Yeah. Okay, you remember how Sambo was offense without weapons? Sistema was, hey, what if we added weapons to Samba and put more focus on endurance for when you can't kill a guy at one point? Oh, and making sure you strike nerve pressure points.
Oh,
so it hurts as much as humanly possible.
And let's not forget, the body has six levers. Both elbows, your neck, both knees, the waist, and your ankles, and your shoulders.
Elbow, neck, knees, waist, ankles, shoulders. Yes. So, let's see what happens if we put your elbow where your ankle is. And your ankle where your neck is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sambo and Sistema are definitely offensive arts.
Yes, because when the Russian method of pacifism is, hey, let's put my shin right behind your knee, and let me just pull your foot back and push your calf right into my shin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. AJ Styles, when he does that move, he's just playing, and it looks painful.
Yeah. There's a reason he calls it the calf killer, and it has nothing to do with the mutilating of young cows.
Now, just imagine this same hold when you've got Fedor Emelianenko, Nick Diaz, Volkan, Fedor's young charge, Alexander. Slightly younger charge, Alexander is our age, and Fedor's younger brother. Yeah. Anyone with the last name of Emelianenko applying any hold to you. Yeah. I dare anyone to say, yeah, I'll let him put it on me. No, you won't. No,
you'll let him put it on you. You will never make another decision in your life.
Nope.
So, in closing, the offensive.
Oh, it works.
Until they quit bleeding because they ran out of blood styles. They certainly have their uses amongst the military and enforcement in countries where freedom is more a theory than a legal practice.
Well, and also, let's not mention that all of these offensive martial arts Vladimir Putin does know, including how to make you bleed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we mentioned him earlier, but I guarantee you, Putin has trained in Sambo and Sistema as well.
He was Russian military. He was a KGB. Put up your air quotes, kids. Information agent.
Yeah. He's he knows several offensive-based martial arts. Putin is the kind of guy that goes, no, I don't need bodyguards. Sir, what if somebody tries to shoot you? They're going to try to shoot me. That is the key word in that phrase.
Try. They're not going to shoot me if they have no use of their wrist.
It's like, they will try to shoot me once. They will not get a second shot off.
That's good, comrade. You think they would try to kill me?
No, they will try to kill me. It is okay. We've been having an economic problem. We could use a few less people for the government to support. Let them try to kill me.
And everyone in the room's laughing until they realize Vlad's not laughing. Oh. You're absolutely serious, sir. Yes, I am. Yeah. What we're trying to tell you is, unless you're that caliber of man, yeah, we'll go with man. Unless you're that caliber of man, totally offensive fighting until someone bleeds is a bad idea.
Yep. And again, maybe I'm just too much of a pacifist. I admit, I try not to actually get in fights myself. But, I am more of the, I don't want to get hit. And I want you to think twice about trying to hit me again. But in the sense of, dude, I'm getting kind of winded. And you're just making everybody laugh at me for not being able to hit you. Screw this. That's more my style. But, you know, if you practice it and you use it responsibly, you don't go out starting fights just so you can show off your kill techniques, I got no faults with you.
And let's face it, even a man like Putin has self-control.
True.
He's not going to go out and take out his political enemies by breaking their neck.
Yeah.
Military kind of taught him not to.
Because think about it, folks. Think about how much time and money Russia has invested in Middle Eastern conflicts. If Putin didn't have self-control, I don't think there would be a Middle East left anymore as long as it's been since he took power.
And he's had three presidencies.
Yeah, he's had the time.
He's had the time, and he could probably call the red line and be like, all right, Trump, I'm bored. You pulled troops out. I'm just giving you courtesy call. You pulled troops out, and you forget we had this phone call. You know, even Trump would be like, yeah, guys, let's pull him out. Who is that? Yeah.
No. This is Trump. He would have to turn it into a deal. All right, but you're going to have to send me some of those authentic Russian pierogies.
Okay.
I can send a box of those, yes.
All right.
Excellent. Yeah.
I do have to feed Mattis, too. Don't worry, I'll make double box.
It would be big box, like the ones we use to ship our tanks in. That's what I'm talking about.
And CNN would be reporting that Russian cooperation was bought with blintzes and pierogies.
And why the hell not? Even our crappy American pierogies are excellent.
Exactly. So, yes, kids, martial arts, even the offensive, you have to have some control. Mike Tyson learned control. He also had to stay in a prison cell quite often.
Because he didn't learn his control very well. Just enough not to kill somebody on camera.
Two, people like Lennox Lewis and Evander Holyfield, if they had no self-control. Again, as we say, both men are scientists at boxing. They know exactly where to hit you. Even Bruce Lee himself knew how to kill a person. Didn't mean he wanted to.
No. So,
what is the goal of the offensive martial art? As we said at the beginning of the show, get home and avoid the hospital or the morgue.
Yep. So, we hope you enjoyed the show. Go try some pierogies if you've never had them.
Yeah, a little bit of potato, a little cheese, maybe a little onion action, all in a nice pasta-like shell.
Yeah.
And blintzes are also pretty good stuff to try, too.
Yes.
A little bit crepe-ish.
But you know what? There's nothing wrong with a good crepe.
No. And if you are high enough in the food chain, there's some of that beluga.
Yes.
That tuna for caviar. A little bit salty. Enjoy with crackers and wash down with vodka.
And then when you're done with all that, let us know how you enjoyed your culinary experience. And then come on back for our next episode when we discuss some of the defensive styles, including the one I am most familiar and have personally trained in, everyone's favorite, Taekwondo.
Yes, surprisingly, it is defensive. We'll tell you how in the next episode. Folks, that's it. Follow us at RouletteProductions.com, then you can get to the rest of the places from there. There you go.